That's pretty much what I got were gift cards and checks.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, exciting. Exciting. So I get to go spend those.
There you go. You got your eye on anything good?
No.
No?
No, not really.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing just swell. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the last show of the year.
Yay! Happy New Year.
It's been a long year. We've done a lot of shows.
We have.
We've done 52.
I was going to say, at least 52.
At least 52.
At least 52.
I don't think we did any extra this year.
No?
Don't think that we did any, like movie edition or, like, special whatever.
Uh-huh.
I know there were some short ones in there. I know there were some times you couldn't be here, but...
Yes.
This is our last show of the year.
Oh.
It's sad.
Should we cue in Auld Lang Syne?
2015 has come to a close. And I say good riddance. I don't know why.
That's so sad.
But it was a banner year for movies, John.
It was?
Since we are movie geeks and we like to talk about movies a lot.
Yes.
It was a banner year for movies. Well, just this week, one of the movies we talked about last week, well, the only movie we talked about last week, Star Wars The Force Awakens passed $1 billion in 12 days.
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It had the biggest Christmas of all time. I used to work at a movie theater for several years, and Christmas was the day that we felt like we could do anything because nobody was there. And they, like, sold out shows for Star Wars.
Well, that's great. As a stockholder, I say that's wonderful.
Yeah, but you don't see anything from that.
No, I don't. Well, not till I die, or almost die. At retirement, I might be able to get the fancy feast.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, it might be a good thing.
So I went and saw it again.
And? Was it just as good? Was it better?
It was just as good as the first time. And knowing what was going to happen almost made it better.
Really?
In some weird way.
Because you knew where to look?
Because I knew what I was I knew what I was looking at, and I knew where to look, and I was looking at different things this time.
Uh-huh. Did Han Solo still die?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Darn.
But like this time, when he sees Rey, not Rey, Ren walk out onto the bridge, like, that's when I started to, like, get emotional about it.
Really?
Like, last time, it wasn't until it actually happened. But this time, watching him be concerned for his son and try to get through to him, and the look on Kylo's face, and, like, this whole thing of this build up to it. Like, the second time around was even kind of, like, more powerful than the first. It was very strange.
Hmm. It would have been fun if they had, like, if they had filmed different endings like they did with Clue back in the 80s. So, like, you'd go and then, like, oh my God, Leia got killed. That was amazing. That was so much better.
She just shows up from behind, from nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been
wait.
Funny.
And then she trips and falls over. And falls into the pit.
So yeah, this year has seen some really, really popular movies come out. And I'm kind of interested to see which of these that you've seen. I know that you've seen Star Wars.
I've seen Star Wars.
Did you see Mad Max Fury Road?
I did not.
Probably my second favorite film of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't really interested in it, and I liked the first three.
This one, I think, is probably three.
Three, okay.
This one is probably better than those.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Avengers Age of Ultron.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that one?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Wait, did I? No, but I haven't. So I'll watch it at some point.
I could have watched it on Christmas instead of sleeping, man.
Nah, I enjoyed sleeping. It was much better.
Okay. Inside Out. Did you see Inside Out?
I did not see Inside Out.
Oh, man, you have a list a mile long of shit
you
need to see.
Should I just tell you how many movies I've seen this year? It might be easier.
Sure.
Star Wars.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah, I really think so.
Like, so you don't even watch it like when it comes out on disc?
Well, I have it, but I just don't find the time to do it.
Man.
Sorry, I'm very busy.
So, the other standout movies for the year, Jurassic World, Ant-Man, The Martian.
Yep, haven't seen.
I took my daughter the other day to see The Good Dinosaur, which I think Pixar finally missed.
Okay.
It's not a very good film. And they tried really hard to make it like a Disney film.
Uh-huh.
Where the whole journey of the main character is the death of a parent.
Oh, of course.
You know, that old thing?
Yep.
Yeah, they went back to that and they sorely missed. It was not very good at all.
Hmm.
Because 90% of the film is this dinosaur and this little kid. And the little kid doesn't talk. The little kid just grunts and growls and howls at the moon.
Hmm.
And then, like, there's this other dinosaur that's trying to get home, but, like, is scared of everything. It was not Pixar's best.
Yeah, no, it's too bad.
From the studio that brought, like, Toy Story and, like, WALL-E and stuff. Like, WALL-E was a movie where the first 30 minutes of the film, nobody talks.
Right.
And it's fucking awesome. This was the exact opposite. I don't know. And I didn't really like the little movie beforehand. The short that they always do.
Which short was this? Sanjay Super Team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't like that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I thought it was too weird. Like, I don't know. It was a room full of little kids, and they were all kind of like, I could see them all asking their parents, like, what's going on? Like, why is... I don't quite get what's going on here.
Hmm.
At least the lava one, at least that, you know, had a kind of...
catchy little
interesting
song.
Interesting song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. Anyway.
So what was the worst movie you saw this year? Was it Inside, was it Good Dinosaur?
Trying to think of all the movies that I've seen. Because I go quite regularly, so.
Well, that's good to know that you're regular.
Oh, whatever. Let's see. I have to go through my list here. Hang on. What did I just recently see that I thought was terrible? Vacation was terrible.
Uh-huh.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was okay. I just recently saw that. I thought that was pretty cute. It suffered from coming out at the same time as Mission Impossible.
Right.
What was the one that I saw that I was like, this is fucking terrible? The remake of Poltergeist was really bad.
Okay. You'll just go to anything.
Well, no. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't go to all of them, but I will rent anything at Redbox.
Okay.
If there's something that I've kind of wanted to see, but I'm not totally sure about,
right,
I'll pick it up at Redbox.
Okay, so you lose a buck.
Yes, exactly. I'm more willing to lose a dollar than 11.
Okay.
Terminator Genesis was also pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Ex Machina was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrowland was not great. What else? I would say probably... Oh, Pixels was the other one that I saw.
Oh. See...
Pixels was fucking horrible.
I know. And it looked like it had a really good premise and it was going to be fun. And, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Josh Gad. I thought... He's made some really shitty choices in the past year or so. The terrible TV show he did. And Pixels. And, like, they had what's his name? Peter Dinklage.
Yes. Like, with a mullet.
With a mullet. Like, there were so many things going for this, but ultimately it turned into what's his name? The main dude.
The main dude in what? Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler.
Okay.
It turns into an Adam Sandler movie, and Adam Sandler should not fucking do anything anymore. This is not the 90s. He should just go crawl in a hole and produce shit.
Mm.
I mean, then he signed that Netflix deal this year.
Yeah.
And made the stupid, like, ripoff of The Hateful Eight. Whatever that was called.
The parody of it.
Seven
or something.
Yeah, just like, oh, man. And in an interview when he asked about being signed to Netflix, his answer was, well, it rhymed with wet chicks. And it's like, okay, you shouldn't be in front of the fucking camera anymore.
What did he say it rhymed with?
Wet chicks. And that was his serious answer.
To Netflix.
To why he
okay.
signed with Netflix.
Okay, now I get it.
Because it rhymed with wet chicks. And it was like, oh.
Okay, carry on.
Dude, he's a fucking disgrace.
He is.
But, yeah, I would say Pixels, Vacation, and the remake of Poltergeist. No, I didn't see a couple of the others. I didn't see Pan. I heard Pan was terrible.
Yeah, Pan kind of came and went quick.
Yeah. It's one of those, had a huge build-up, big star, absolutely nothing. I also didn't see Spectre. I didn't see
a couple of the other things. Spectre out yet?
Yeah, it's out and gone, I think. I didn't see Straight Outta Compton, so I can't tell you if that was any good.
Mm.
I didn't see 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, I'm proud of you for not seeing 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, see, that's not one that I would see anyway. That's not one that I would go to Redbox and be like, you know what, I'll give that a shot, because I just wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, Redbox opened me up to a world of shitty movies. Because it really became, I've heard terrible things about this, but for a dollar, I'll take a shot. And a lot of times, like, I've been going to Redbox so much that they send those, like, if you rent one, you get one for free.
Yeah.
So a lot of them I don't even pay for. Like, a lot of them I'll get with a movie that I really wanted to see, or that I've seen and wanted to see again. And then I get that one as a free one, and then I'm like, oh, look, I didn't waste my time. Or I did waste my time. But yeah, saw a lot of movies in 2015.
Wow.
Some great, some not so great.
Okay.
You saw one.
I saw one. It was a damn good one, though. It was worth my $10 and my $15 popcorn.
Oh, there you go. Isn't it great when the food costs more than the movie?
Yeah, right? Well, you know, they got to make their money back, because opening weekend, the theaters get nothing.
Right, exactly. I don't know how many people understand that either.
They don't. Nobody does.
So the way this works, because I remember hearing about this when I worked at the movie theater too, is when a movie comes out, the amount that the theater gets as opposed to the amount that the movie companies get.
Right.
Is a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And every week that it's out, the percentage shifts in favor of the theater. So when you have, I'm sure Disney in their wisdom said, you know, 99% of what Star Wars makes in its first week goes to the theaters, or goes to us. 1% goes back to the theater. And then as Star Wars stays out, that shifts in favor of the theater. It never gets to, like, where Disney won't be getting money, but, like, the theaters are making more money than they were. So the way that they have to compensate for that is concession stand, which is why you pay $4 for a bottle of Coke. Or,
right.
You know, $10 for popcorn that costs $1 to make.
Oh, if that.
If that. I think they said movie theater popcorn is more expensive per pound than, like, filet mignon.
Ooh.
Well, which, I mean...
savor it. It's good. tasty.
Yeah.
Especially if they have, like, one of those out in the open butter flavor pumps. You know, you just fill up half the bag with that shit.
That's right.
It slides right through you.
Give yourself cancer the easy way.
Of course.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't understand, though. Like, the theater that we went to for our second viewing, or my second viewing. We went to the very first show, which was a 10:45 in the morning show. And tickets were, like, $3 a piece.
Oh, wow.
And that's the reason why that we go to that theater. But I don't know how, like, they get away with that. I guess as long as they're paying their percentage... I guess Disney doesn't care what you charge.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think they can say. Can they? I mean, wouldn't that be a monopoly of some sort?
Well, I don't think that they can say charge $12 a ticket all day long.
Right.
But I guess as long as they're going in saying, you know, this particular show is $3 a ticket, everything else is $5. Up until a certain time, and then they're 10. I guess that's just the way it works. I guess they are just like, hey, just give us the percentage. But did you hear what Disney did to Quentin Tarantino?
They took all the screens that would have shown Hateful Eight.
Well, he wanted one particular screen in particular.
Yes.
Some either in LA or San Francisco, one of those. Where they had the 70mm, and they had written a contract with him that said after 2 weeks or whatever it was, Hateful Eight can be shown in this theater. And then Disney stepped in and said, well, no, you know what? We're gonna take this theater for the entire
run.
Season.
Yeah.
Of, yeah. That's kind of a shitty thing to do. I mean, it's one theater. And they basically threatened the chain with if you honor the thing that you wrote with Tarantino, then none of your chain will get Star Wars.
Well, I mean, what do you expect for a mouse, you know?
I guess, but, you know, it's just a shitty thing to do. It's one theater. It's not going to make or break fucking
nope,
Disney.
But it's a douchey thing they could get away with, and they did.
I guess. I don't know what the end result of that was, though. I don't know. Because I know when he said it on Howard Stern, Howard Stern was calling out for Bob Iger to sit down with Tarantino.
Like, that's going to matter, right?
I guess. Let's see. Tarantino-Disney dispute. Does that come up with anything? My internet's really slow. Come on. I hate the internet. Fuck you, Google. I don't know. It's not loading. Ah. You can find anything over there?
According to Screen Rant, back on the 16th, Tarantino says Disney strong-armed the Hateful Eight out of a Hollywood theater. That's kind of about it. And it talks about the interview with Stern.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't say whether or not. It was resolved?
No. The quote says, as of yesterday, Disney came to the ArcLight people and said, no, you're going to play Star Wars in the Cinerama Dome for your entire holiday season. And if you don't, if you honor your deal with the Hateful Eight, we will not allow you to have Star Wars, the biggest movie in the world. We won't allow you to show it at any of your ArcLight movie theaters. Well, fuck you.
Jesus. That is a petty fucking thing to do to somebody.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, and Tarantino, like outright said, hey, I know I'm not going to beat you guys at the box office. That's not what this is about. He shot it specifically with a specific camera.
Right.
And wants it to be shown in that way. And then Disney's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, when you can get away with it.
I guess so. I guess when you own four of the largest movie making entities in the world, you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
I mean, because then they turn around and they say, okay, you don't get any Marvel movies, you don't get any Pixar movies. Like, they just start strong arming people.
Right.
I don't know. That's a shitty thing to do. But whatever.
Yeah, life goes on.
Speaking of interviews, did you see the Charlie Rose interview with George Lucas?
Did not.
It was very interesting. He sounds very bitter.
Okay.
They were talking about the making of the film and how it differed from his vision, and he basically was like, I gave them exactly what I thought it should be, and they decided that they wanted to do something different. And he at one point actually says, you know, I didn't think it was right for if I was involved, and they really didn't want me involved anyway. And it was like, wow, dude, you sold the company.
Yeah, I mean, you wanted a complete divorce from that part of your life, and you got it, and now you're bitching about it.
I think he's just pissed because everybody's trashing the prequels and being like, this is the Star Wars we wanted.
Well, but they were doing that before before this came out.
Yeah, but before this, he couldn't say, well, you know, my movie still made a lot of money. Now, like, this is going to be probably the biggest movie ever.
Yeah.
And everybody can turn around and say, well, it's because Lucas wasn't involved, and that's got to be hard for him to swallow.
Yeah, but does that mean if the second one is just as good, they're going to say it's good because Abrams wasn't involved?
Well, I don't think any of the next films will be as big as this.
Right.
I think that you're going to see a dramatic drop off just because it's not new anymore.
True. I think this is something we've been waiting for so long, and now we've got it, and now it's just, okay, what's the next movie?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and hopefully it has the staying power that people are going to want to see Episode 8.
Right.
After Rogue One, before the Boba Fett movie. So, who knows?
Before the young Han Solo film.
Yes.
Yeah, he came off as a petulant child, though. It was pretty interesting.
Huh.
Because he just kept saying, he was like, you know, they didn't want me involved, and they weren't going to do it the way I wanted to do it.
Got some news for you. Marvel's...
I just find that hard to believe. You know?
Well, look.
You got $4 billion. Shut up and count your pennies.
I know. I think it's just one of those things. Like, he's the creator, so they're going to keep bringing him into the fold of this. And, like, when he saw the movie, he didn't say, oh, it's a great film. His reaction was, this is what fans have been asking for.
Right.
So, I mean, right from the get-go, he's kind of been kind of standoffish about... I mean, it's really odd that the creator of a franchise doesn't like the franchise, which is what it seems like.
I don't know. Maybe he...
Look, and I will give full credit for this dude. He revolutionized filmmaking. He revolutionized visual effects. He came up with nonlinear editing and sound mixing and all the things that he's come up with. He's just not a very good writer and director. And I don't think he can take that.
Well, and do you think that he has such a high opinion of himself that he was never going to succeed culturally? That he just wanted to, create this high art new genre of film, and he just created a cultural phenomenon instead.
Yeah, I mean, I truly feel that in the beginning he wanted to make a Buck Rogers type
Serial,
film.
yeah.
That's why all the transitions are there. That's why all that other stuff is there.
Yep.
But when it became the phenomenon that it was, he knew that he couldn't keep that up because he immediately turned around and gave up the director's chair.
Right.
You know, I think Star Wars was kind of a fluke almost. And they turned around and they gave Empire Strikes Back. He helped write the story, but Lawrence Kasdan wrote most of it.
Right.
You had Irvin Kershner direct it, and then even Return of the Jedi had Ralph,
Cramden.
no, what's his name? Fuck, what's the director's name? Marquand.
Yes.
Think that. So, like, he directed it, and while Lucas was still on as a producer, he gave up the reins, and as soon as he was in control of everything with the prequels, it suffered. The acting, the writing, the look of the film, like all of it just kind of went away in favor of the technology.
Right.
How far can we push it and still make it look okay?
Well, and
Let's not build any armor.
how much of it became the technology that suffered for the lack of a story?
What do you mean?
Well, instead of working on the story, we worked on replacing Yoda.
Right, exactly.
Things like that. It's like, okay, well, you've already done this. It exists. It's, frozen.
Right.
Nobody's going back and re-editing Gone with the Wind so that the South wins. So why can't you just let that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, even in one of the making of, I think it was episode one, there's a scene, well, it's not really a scene. They show shots from a meeting where he's talking to the guys from ILM.
Right.
And ILM saying, "We don't have a way of doing what you want us to do. We have some ideas, but we don't know if we can push it to what you want."
Sure.
And Lucas says in there, he goes, "Well, if you make it work for us, that means everybody else is going to want it for their films, and that's how we make money." And I kind of feel like Star Wars became the proving ground of, we can do a digital character, and then we have it kind of on a low budget, but if you want to do a bigger budget, we can do what ended up being Davy Jones from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. That was a completely digital character that was phenomenally done.
Right.
So as long as you're willing to pay, and I just think Lucas was like, "Well, I own the company, you just do whatever, and we just proof of concept this so that other people will pay the real money." When you look at episode three, like most of that just looks like a video game at this point. Doesn't hold up well, doesn't look great.
Right.
You can tell that, oh, you just replaced that dude's head. Like it's a lot of that kind of stuff. And now that they've gone back and, filmed in a real desert and had real sets and like hardly had any green screens except where they really needed it. I think at that point it's just like he's just like, "Well, fuck these people, man. I'm the godfather of all this, and everybody's talking about Abrams." I don't know. I just think he's a little, at this point, he should just probably retire and disappear.
I think he should disappear. I think he should work on his little art museums, and you've done a tremendous amount to inspire young filmmakers. Let's not ruin that by you being a smarmy little bitch in your old age. Okay.
I agree with that.
You know, you've done so much good. Now, shut up, Grandpa. We're not getting off your goddamn lawn.
Oh, man.
You know, that's what happens when you get old. What is he, 85 now?
He's 70.
Okay, whatever. Close.
Which was one of those things, like, he said that, you know, he's 70. He figured that the next trilogy would take 10 years to really do right, and that he didn't want to be doing this when he was 80. And he makes some comment. He was like, because I don't even know if I'll be here when I'm 80. But I mean, if you look at what Disney's doing from the announcement to now,
right,
was 3 years. But they're in a machine of they're going to crank one out every year.
But they're not cranking out one of the current trilogy every year.
No, every other year.
Right. So it took 3 years and then 6 years to get all three movies done. So that's nine.
That's nine, yeah, I guess.
You know? I just think it's time for Dad to stop talking to the press. It's all there is to it. It's like, okay, understood. Move on.
Well, yeah, but everybody wants his thoughts and opinions.
No, they don't. They really don't. They just want to get him wound up.
Well, the news does, because the news has nothing better to report.
I suppose.
It's either this or they have to talk about how police officers kill people.
Well, damn it, they should.
So we'll just talk about George Lucas instead.
Yeah, because that's all the public can handle.
Would you rather hear from George Lucas about the new Star Wars movie, or would you rather hear from Donald Trump? Here's your choices. What do you want?
Yeah, I know. Choices aren't that great, are they? Yeah, that kind of bites.
I don't know. I don't know. Think he just... Is his museum, is it an art museum, or is he doing like a I'm George Lucas museum?
No, he collects art. So he's creating a art museum of his stuff.
Do you think that when you reach a certain level of success, when you have $1 billion, there's nothing left to do but collect art?
I could think of many other things I would do.
But if you have a big house, you have a couple of houses, and you have a boat, and like you have all this shit, and you can do whatever the hell you want.
But see, if I had $1 billion, I could find other things to do.
Like what? What would you do with $1 billion?
I would go to Rome and I would take a ride in the Pope Mobile. I'd put on the little beanie and I'd ride around the city in the Pope Mobile waving at people.
Okay.
Maybe passing out like churros or something. I think I would be a very fun billionaire.
Oh, I'm sure you would be.
You know, I would rent out the London Eye for a paintball tournament.
Okay.
I think that'd be kind of fun. Yeah, I could much better spend that money.
It just seems like a lot of rich people get to the point where you hear about how, oh, they're big art collectors. And it's like, really? That dude plays in a heavy metal band.
Well, I think it's because it's the investment. I don't know so much that most of them are doing it because of their love of art.
Okay.
I think they're looking at it going, oh, this is a Picasso. So when I'm 90 and strung out, I can sell this.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is.
And Lucas is like, well, I'm never going to run out of money, so I might as well just...
buy shit I like.
Just buy shit I like.
Yeah, why not?
Well, then he should be investing in his kids. Like, doesn't he have a daughter that's like an MMA fighter or something?
She does. But it's not really his daughter. She's adopted. Well, they're all adopted, so it doesn't really matter.
I think he's shooting blanks.
They're not real kids.
They're not real kids.
They're not real kids.
Well, I bet he spent some real money on them, raising them.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I mean, Jet would go to Disney World every year for his birthday.
Yeah.
So, you know, But I think you get to a point where it's like, all right, kids, you've been riding the gravy train too much. Now it's time for you to start finding your own way. You go beat the shit out of other girls. Go ahead. That'll be fun. Daddy likes that.
But can you do it for me inside?
No. In Jell-O.
In Jell-O.
See, I think what should happen is that Lucas could have his own division of MMA that was like Star Wars themed.
Uh-huh.
And like it's all these people dressed up in like really elaborate ILM makeups. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Well, let's see. His daughter Amanda is a mixed martial artist.
Yep.
Katie Lucas, which is the middle one. What does she do? What? Maybe she doesn't do anything. Wait a minute. That's weird. She's the bigger one. She's the hefty gal.
Okay.
Oh, she was a writer on Star Wars The Clone Wars TV series.
Ooh, token job. Just saying.
Let's see what Jet does. Jet is the son. Is he an actor? It doesn't say what he does, so. He was born in 1993, so he's 22?
Oh, he's just about the right age to get into some shit.
And then he has a 2-year-old. Everest Hobson Lucas.
Everest?
Everest.
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 Okay.
In August, Lucas was spotted taking his daughter Everest to Disney California Adventure in Anaheim.
Oh.
I guess when you have that much money, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
There you go.
But at least Amanda, who is the MMA artist, at least she's actually doing something with her life. She's whooping people's asses, man.
Good for her.
Yeah. Her nickname is Powerhouse.
Hmm. I guess that's better than Diesel.
Is she a champion? She competes in something called Deep Openweight Women's Championship.
The hell's that mean?
I think that's the name of the
Deep Openweight?
Yes. Oh, it's a Japan-based MMA.
Okay.
I don't see her name on the winners list. Lots of Japanese women.
Look at her round eye.
She's the open weight champion. Whatever the fuck that means.
Okay, well, good for her. Whatever.
So I guess he needs to get behind his other two kids and be like, yo, get your shit together.
I think they need to find themselves.
You could be your friend on Facebook.
No, I got enough friends.
You could be your friend on LinkedIn. Oh no, wrong Katie Lucas.
I was gonna say, what would I need that for? Hey, I've got a connection.
However, this Katie Lucas is an associate editor at HBO.
Oh, well, you know.
What was that?
Just getting a Facebook message. Metalock,
yeah, right over there.
Metalock Lemon is dead. I think we got to cut the show short.
Are you sad?
I am sad. Is Curly Neal still alive?
Is he? I don't know.
I think Curly died already.
Oh. The Globetrotters. What's happening to the Globetrotters?
It's the curse. It's the Globetrotters curse.
They all die?
Yes. Still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay.
You all right?
Just making sure.
Just heard a lot of moving around.
I was adjusting my headset.
Oh.
Metalark Lemon, he was 83.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow. He died too young.
No. I think that's a good age. Nice round age, 83. What?
So somebody on the internet, I was looking at pictures of George Lucas's daughter fighting.
Uh-huh.
And somebody compared her to, you remember in the Ewok movies, there was that little,
yes,
like gray monkey looking thing?
Yes.
They're comparing her to that.
Oh. Is that
bad?
That's
pretty funny. Well, here, let me send this to you. It's on a thing called Monkey Blog Monkey Do.
Oh, jeez.
Here. Hang on. There. And scroll down like halfway.
Oh.
Women fighters are not attractive when they fight.
Yes, that looks exactly like her. She's not. Is she attractive outside of this? How old is she?
There's a couple of pictures on like Google.
Yeah.
Where she's cute, but she's not.
Well, these pictures are from 4 years ago too on the website you just sent me to.
Oh, okay.
So maybe she looks even more like a monkey. I don't know. Just saying. So to switch gears to a different realm of fandom.
Okay.
Did you catch the Doctor Who Christmas special?
I did.
What did you think? I love River Song. I don't know why. I just like that character. I like that actress.
It felt very much like they had written themselves into a corner with a Christmas episode where they couldn't involve a companion. They had spent so much time getting rid of Clara and doing all the stuff where Clara's not coming back and
she's
off in the TARDIS by herself with me and all that shit that happened, that they couldn't include any of that in the Christmas special.
I didn't miss any of that, though. I felt this was a very Hallmark Doctor Who. Or, you know, a Lifetime real movie for women kind of Doctor Who.
Well, it was very much a, what are we going to do for a companion? Let's bring back River Song.
But she's dead. But not in this timeline. Not at this point in time.
Nope. Right. Nobody's truly dead in Doctor Who because he's always constantly moving back and forth in time.
Right. Which really confused me in the finale two-parter. It's like, well, you're 4 billion years in the future now. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, there one time there was some kind of weird thing where Doctor Who could not travel back to a point where he had already gone.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was some weird thing about that. But, I mean, overall, I liked the episode. It didn't feel like a Christmas episode because they only ever really acknowledge Christmas in the beginning.
Right.
But I thought it's very... They've learned how to write for Peter Capaldi.
Mm-hmm.
every time that he's on screen as Doctor Who now, it's fascinating to me. Because he's got the mannerisms. They write for him to his strengths. And I really think that if he leaves next year, it's going to be a damn shame. But I mean, I liked all the other stuff. I liked all the little stuff that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
The quips between him and River not recognizing him in the beginning. And,
right.
You know, the dude's looking for him with the pictures in the wallet of all
right,
the
of
past.
All the doctors before him.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's like, well, there can't be a 13th, so, well, you know, it's got to be one of these.
Why couldn't there be a 13th?
Because in the original Doctor Who lore, there you could only have 12 regenerations.
Oh.
And there's a couple of weird things that happened. Like, they brought out the War Doctor for the 50th anniversary that
right.
had never been seen before.
Right.
And during David Tennant's run, there's a regeneration where he regenerates into himself.
Mm.
So it's David Tennant regenerating into David Tennant, which was really weird.
Okay.
So while this is actually the 12th Doctor, it's actually the 13th in a weird way.
Okay.
And in the Christmas episode 2 years ago, when he saves the town of Christmas, the Time Lords come back and grant him a new cycle of regeneration, which is 13 or which is 12 more lives.
Okay.
So that's why River is confused, because she only knows that he can have 12 faces or whatever.
Got it. I thought, I don't know if you caught this, but the name of the rat-like creature who was waiting on her was Remy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, they do that kind of shit all the time.
I thought the ending was very sweet. I loved how when the TARDIS arrives at the Twin Towers, or the Singing Towers, he hands the kid the diamond and says, build a huge restaurant here with views overlooking the towers. You'll make a fortune.
Right.
So why are you giving this? Just do it. And then he comes back after it's built. And it's like, well, the only opening we have is New Year's Eve in 14 years. That's fine.
And he walks back in, he changes the thing, and he puts it back up, and yep. he walks out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole thing that, you know, she's concerned that her journal's almost full, and she got it from somebody who probably knows how many pages she's going to need in her journal, and realizes
yeah.
she's getting close to the end of her life. And she's like, well, how long does a night last on whatever this planet was? And he says 24 years. It's like,
yeah.
Aww. I thought they were sweeties.
Well, look, if he spent 4 billion years trying to get out of that puzzle box.
Right.
24 years is nothing to a Time Lord.
No, but it is to her.
Yeah.
And that would put her at about, what, 78, maybe? Figure she's mid-50s by there.
Yeah, and, I mean, they've said that this is the last time that you're going to see her.
That's too bad. I like
her. But, I mean, at this point, you could bring her back for anything.
Right.
It's just different in the timeline.
Right.
At that point.
I mean, I loved how she came off the spaceship wearing her Mrs. Claus outfit.
yeah, there's only a couple of real Christmas things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was just pretty much a standalone Doctor Who episode. But like last year, they had to call Santa in to help. And
was last year the one with the Iceman, or was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
What was last year?
Last year was Santa Claus, where they're at the North Pole.
Oh,
and they're at the base that's
yes.
under siege.
Yes.
Yeah. And was it Nick Frost?
Yes.
Was Santa Claus?
I believe so.
Yeah. But see, that was another one that Clara wasn't supposed to be in, and she kept going back and forth on whether or not she wanted to renew her contract.
Well, I mean, now that she's cast in, well, she's not on it anymore, but she was in Elementary.
Oh, was she?
I think that was her. In the opening of this season, he has taken another investigator under his wing. She's this little British foundling girl, and you know, he's teaching her the ways while Watson is off doing her own thing.
Yeah, I know that she got cast in some TV show in Britain about like Queen Elizabeth.
Oh.
So she was going to go do that. That's what she was leaving Doctor Who to do.
Well, why would she do that?
I don't know. Well, see, the weird thing is that like Peter Capaldi has now been like, has said in the past week, he's like, yeah, this may be my last year. Because now he wants to do other things, so.
But how many episodes a year do they do?
They do 10.
So it's not like it's a 22-episode U.S. series.
No, but they take 2 weeks to do each episode. So with the Christmas special, it's 22 weeks. That's half a year. You know, I don't know. I mean, it could be like Sherlock where they only do like three, but they're like an hour and a half long.
Yeah. Well, or you just do like they did with Idris Elba, and you bring him back for like, you know, a limited series of his character, and then...
Yeah, but Doctor Who is an institution. They would never... I don't think they would ever put it off that long. I know they talked about splitting the season to where, like, you would show 5 episodes and then wait 6 months and show the rest.
Okay.
I don't know what that buys them, but they were toying with that at one point. I don't know. I guess I don't know. Actors are weird.
Okay, so apparently Jenna Coleman was not on Elementary this season. But it's somebody who just looks an awful lot like her.
Really?
Maybe they all do. I don't know.
No, so Jenna Coleman has a kind of a unique look.
You think?
She's got like a round face.
Okay.
And she's adorable, so I don't know.
And she's adorable.
She's adorable. Very sad to see her go.
Oh.
But whatever. Who knows what the future holds for Doctor Who?
One does not.
See, I think next time on Who.
I think it'd be interesting to go back and get other doctors and do other stories from their timelines. And do, you know, limited series. You know, here's Neil Tennant doing a 4-hour block.
You mean David Tennant?
David Tennant. No, Neil Tennant's with... Yeah, never mind. Apparently the girl's name was Susan Porfar.
Oh.
And in this picture looks nothing like Jenna.
Okay. Well, I mean, they brought David Tennant back for the 50th anniversary.
Right.
You know, they brought a whole bunch of people back into the fold to kind of do that. And I mean, at this point, I don't think a lot of them would come back for like a limited series.
Why?
I don't know. It's very odd that like you do something, like you're a struggling actor, and then you finally hit something big, and then you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
I mean, if I was an actor, I'd be holding on to that like with grim death. Like,
oh, I would know that. Yeah, that's my meal ticket. When, you know, as soon as things dry up, I'm going back to that damn TARDIS.
Yeah, you want me to be in the TARDIS for 10 years? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna have to write me off the show, just so you know. Like, I'm not going anywhere. But like, you know, Peter Capaldi was an established actor before.
Right.
And he had done some pretty big things in Britain, and like he's got the clout to be like, look, I don't have to do this forever. It's always been a dream to be Doctor Who, so I'll do it for a couple of years. And then I'll move on. Although, I mean, like, he was in Paddington, so I don't really know.
Yeah, see, I mean, I would think for every Paddington you do that, you know, suddenly, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah. He was creepy in Paddington too.
Did he play the bear?
No.
No? Oh.
No. That was another one that came out this year.
Oh, was it?
That was very strange, yeah.
Oh, actually, no. The girl I'm thinking of was Ophelia Lovibond.
Holy, now that's an English name.
I believe she was one of the Carillion girls in, you know, that movie with the stuff that happened. You know what I mean.
Are you talking about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
She was the collector's sidekick that kills herself.
Of the twins. There were the two girls, and one of them ends up in the box.
Yes.
Yes. That's who I meant.
And she kills, and she winds up killing herself.
Yes. And she's also in Mr. Popper's Penguins, so she's got a huge career ahead of her.
Look, I'm sure they said, look, it's a half-animated movie, it's Jim Carrey.
Yeah, uh-huh.
She does kind of look like Jenna Coleman in these shots from Elementary.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
No.
Oh, she also played the same character in Thor: The Dark World.
Yes, at the end credit scene.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see how you could think that was Jenna Coleman.
You know, British accent.
Especially from afar.
Yes.
Good old London.
Pip, pip.
Cheerio.
Yes. Oh, God, now there's a rumor that Coral from Walking Dead may be Han Solo.
That'll never happen.
Why? Coral! Coral, did you shoot first?
They're going to want somebody unknown.
I can only...
It will not be an established actor. And besides, he can't film during the week. That would kill Star Wars production.
Yeah.
Apparently his parents have some kind of deal where they say that his education is more important than everybody else or than anything else, and that he can only film on the weekends when he's not in school.
Really?
Yes. Huh. So the crew films like Tuesday to Sunday or Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And all of his stuff is done on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh. Well, that's good.
I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
I wonder if he still has his YouTube channel.
Coral?
Yeah, he used to have a YouTube channel where he would play video games. He was one of those guys that would
and do walkthroughs and stuff?
Well, no, he would screen capture while he was playing with his friends.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a very weird thing.
It sounds like it.
But those people have so many fucking subscribers.
Because there's a bunch of 12-year-olds sitting at home doing the same damn thing.
I guess. I mean, I don't understand the numbers on YouTube. I don't understand views and how things get the views that they get.
I think as soon as you ask each viewer for a buck, they disappear.
Yeah, but when you look at the way that the things are put together in the agreements and the monetization of some of these channels,
mm-hmm.
they're making serious money off of this
off of advertising, because they're whores.
I mean, my kid was watching an unboxing video of the Disney Tsum Tsums.
Yes.
Where this woman, it was just her hands, and she had a table full of these toys, and she would just open them, and she would say which character it was, and she'd spin it around, and then she'd put it on the table, and then she'd take the next one, and the thing had like 5 million views. And it was like, what the fuck is going on that people are, 5 million people are watching this? And she does like 3 videos a week and they all have millions of views.
Wow, maybe I should start doing that.
Maybe.
I'll do it with my groceries. I'll do unbagging videos.
You know what? I think that you could open one of your closets and do a show one a week where you show different Star Wars collectibles or different collectibles that you have, and you might be able to make a fucking fortune off of
it. Think
so? Oh, yeah.
See, I got a few days off this week. I mean, might start filming.
I mean, and like doing research on some of these people, there are the video game guys that just do like playthroughs of stuff and have fun with their friends, and they have millions of subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But the toy ones are where it seems to be all the viewers go.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not even like they're well done.
Right.
But they have, they're showing stuff that people want to see. And a bunch of it's Disney crap. A bunch of it is, you know, those Tsum-Tsums or like the little Disney princess things. My Little Pony stuff. Like all that stuff has millions of views. And it's just crazy. There are people that take their My Little Pony dolls and act out little scenes where you see their hands on the ponies. Like, it was just like when you're playing with Star Wars action figures when you're a kid.
Right.
And you're walking up, you know, Luke walks up to Han, says something, and Han says something back, and they turn around and they walk towards the Millennium Falcon. Millions of views. And it's like, what the fuck is going on?
I'll tell you exactly what's going on.
What?
Legalized pot in Colorado. That's what it is.
Well, I'm sure some of it has something to do with it.
I think that's it.
But yeah, it's crazy. It's a mess at how many like views these people get.
This is fascinating.
And it's nothing.
Here's really bad footage of some brony at McDonald's unboxing My Little Pony Happy Meals.
And how many views does it have?
25,000.
All right, see, that's not one of the big ones.
No, it's not, but oh my God. And some of the comments are, I was digging my own grave while watching this. Holy shit, the cringe is unreal. Give that poor employee a raise already. This man needs some bleach in his life. Shouldn't he have an adult with him at all times? Wainbow Dash, he can't even pronounce the letter R right.
The brother's got a speech impediment, man.
I can't wait for another Holocaust.
Oh my God.
That wisp, though.
I think that you and I should really look at a way to up the content on our YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel?
Well, yeah.
Oh, now he's at the counter trying to get Pinkie Pie and Rainbow Dash because he didn't get the ones he wanted. And this is also on something called the Autism Awareness Channel.
All right, that's not a stellar example.
So now there are three people from McDonald's going through the box trying to find him the toys he wants. Oh, she's coming back. Oh, he's so disappointed. They don't have any different ones. Oh. Oh, now we're getting to the good stuff. He's opening the packages. Oh, he's having trouble. Package is tough. Oh, and now they're making a little scene.
click on the link that I just sent you.
But I gotta know how this guy finishes.
In his hand.
Ew. Is it the Sumsum one?
Yes.
Okay.
Look at how many views it has.
Over 1 million views?
1.6.
Oh my god, do I have to talk like this? I have to talk like I'm a little girl. This is fascinating.
Oh my gosh. So I think it says something like 12 and 36, so I'm thinking there's probably 12 to collect. And then maybe there's 36 things inside. I don't know. But I'm super, super excited. So if you guys know what this says, please let me know.
So she has a Japanese package in her hand and she doesn't know what it means.
Right. But that's the whole video, is just her hands.
Really?
Opening these things, yeah.
Okay.
It's 24 minutes long. It's 1.5 million views. Even if you get $1 for every 1,000 views, how much money is she making off of this? One fucking video.
Do you think she's making that much?
That's what they claim. They claim it's $1 for every 1,000 views.
Oh my gosh, this is so cute, you guys. Oh my goodness.
Oh, what's my. Even more fucked up is that she has 633,000 subscribers.
633,000.
Oh, 633,000. 1,600,000 views.
She just popped open Sully. And inside Sully is Mike Wazowski. Oh,
I'm telling you,
adorable. Oh my god, I have to go buy some of these.
You and I need to figure out how to tap into the YouTube audience.
Oh my god.
With more than just 2 videos a year.
Wow.
Isn't that
fun? Well, you know what we should do? We should do it at MegaCon, where we go through people's different shops and we open stuff that hasn't been opened because they're trying to, you know, sell it for a lot of money. So we go back and we, like, you know, go, oh, hey, and here's a vintage George Lucas Stormtrooper figure, original packaging, still sealed. Let's open it up and see. And then as we get chased out of the building...
Well, see, yeah, we can only do it once.
Well, I don't know. The place was pretty crowded.
Well,
we'd have to go side to side.
It just amazes me how many people are watching this kind of shit.
It's sad because you know what? Most of those people what? Have the right to vote. So all Donald Trump has to do is break out a Pez dispenser, and he's in.
Okay.
He's in. He's the new guy.
There you go.
Wow. That's frightening.
2016. Dance Monkey Dance is going to take over fucking YouTube.
Yeah, right?
I don't know how, but we are going to make a presence on YouTube next year.
All right. I hear you. We should start working on it right now.
We should.
Right this minute.
You have any parting words of wisdom for the year?
No. Not a damn thing.
I can always count on you.
It's over. It's all that matters.
All right. Well, we hope everybody had a good year. We hope everybody has a good 2016 coming up. Look for a lot more content because we're going to storm YouTube. Don't know how, but we're going to.
Are you making a New Year's resolution?
Right now, or that we're going to do more videos on YouTube.
Okay, because I made mine. It's 1080p.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to end the show. because we can't get any funnier than that.
Oh, actually, we can. Go ahead, wrap it up.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Go to our Facebook page and our Twitter and our YouTube and all that fun stuff, and let us know you're listening. So until next year, this is Chris.
It's John.
Have a good week.
Hey, Lance Armstrong just posted on his Facebook. He says, the only ball that we'll be dropping on Times Square this New Year's Eve is mine.